Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Getting Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Mike Florio's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. You can watch him on NBC Sports as well. He joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. Before we get to some NFL stuff, what the hell happened with the Alliance of American Football not making payroll, blaming it on a glitch? The glitch, quote unquote, appeared to be out of cash, and then they sell their entire league to a multi-billionaire.
Well, you know, the leadership of the league danced around it for a couple of days, but finally Steve Spurrier pulled the sheet back and said basically they had an investor who backed out last week. It left them in a tough spot, and they found Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, to come in and not just provide the Band-Aid, but like an entire truckload of Band-Aids to the tune of $250 million, and he becomes the majority owner of the league. The league wouldn't say how much he purchased. Spurrier says he runs the thing now. Dundon is the chairman of the board. It's basically the Tom Dundon Alliance of American Football. And what an impulse buy. I mean, go get a car, man. What, to have so much money that you could just become infatuated based upon one weekend of four football games to the point where you're going to plunk down $250 million. Wouldn't it be great to have that much money that you can just say, yeah, here's $250 million. I kind of liked what I saw on TV. Let's fully invest in this thing in about 48 hours of contemplation.
Yeah, so that's my question. What does Tom Dundon have on design-wise for this league? Is this something he thinks he can turn into a product, or is this the billionaire's midlife crisis?
I talked to him yesterday morning about this on Pro Football Talk Live, and my questions included, how do you get your money back, right? Because you don't just throw the money out there and just say, oh, well, there it went, although maybe you do.
Wow.
There's got to be some plan to make your money back. And he continues to refer to the AAF as a developmental league. And I think they need to have some sort of a deal with the NFL where you get players on loan. Now, will coaches and general managers be comfortable with having backup players who are key parts of the team getting these extra reps from February until April, when they have live reps, game reps? You're going to have injured players. You know, it would make sense to give your backup quarterbacks the opportunity to go play in this other league and get better at their craft. But if they get hurt, then you're screwed. So right now, these are the guys who aren't good enough to be on the 90-man offseason rosters. They're trying to position themselves so they can be. I don't know that that's the kind of development that is going to develop this league into something that is worth watching, because quarterback play is the key. There isn't enough good quarterback play to go around, and the games that have been worth watching so far are the games with good quarterback play, and the games without good quarterback play, it ends up being 12-9 or something like that, and you eventually ask yourself, why am I watching this? It's like the old George Costanza line when Russell Dalrymple said, why am I watching it? Well, it's on TV. Well, it is for now, but I don't know how long that's going to last.
The Steelers have a couple of big-name players who aren't exactly Steelers right now. Existing in some sort of weird limbo. It's very odd to see how each is playing out a very different end game here. And go through the various vectors in this and what we're looking at.
Well, there's three players in the news right now for the Steelers. And you've got Le'Veon Bell, who will get his freedom, open market. The Steelers are not going to apply the transition tag or the franchise tag. That's the smart move. There was no good way out of applying the transition tag. They weren't going to match an offer sheet he signs elsewhere. They're not going to work out a tag and trade because he's not going to cooperate. With Antonio Brown, they're trying to find a trade partner, and as of Tuesday, it looked like they're going to take whatever they can get. By Wednesday, GM Kevin Colbert says, we're not just going to give this guy away. So they're going to have to ask themselves at some point, do we take whatever the best offer is, or do we draw a line in the sand with Brown, keep him around, try to avoid setting a bad precedent to other players who may think, I can talk my way out of town too if I'm not happy. And then finally, Ben Roethlisberger, who has avoided a lot of criticism over the current state of the team, he called out players publicly last year on his weekly radio show in Pittsburgh, and Colbert yesterday spent a lot of time defending that and ultimately saying, he can call me out too. And I mean, how do you run a football team that way where you empower one player, any player, to say whatever he wants publicly? It's one thing to handle it privately, and I can understand getting into a locker room, standing up, and giving an impassioned speech, but you don't give that impassioned speech into a microphone. You do it in the locker room. You deal with these issues within the building. And to let Roethlisberger be the guy who can say whatever he wants, whenever he wants. You know, people think that Bell, Brown, and or Roethlisberger are the causes of the problem in Pittsburgh. I think they're symptoms. And the cause is somewhere at or between the coaching staff and ownership. There is somebody at the top of that organization that is allowing this dysfunction to exist. And I know Steelers fans get all upset when you point it out. They should be upset that it's either Art Rooney, Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, or some combination of the three that is failing to have the right kind of accountability in place, the right demands in place, the right rules in place to keep all these guys in line. And that's why the Steelers have, on paper, every year a great team, and every year they have to sit back and watch the Patriots pursue that next Super Bowl championship, and now the Patriots have caught them at six, and between the two franchises, who's going to be first to seven? I'm taking the Patriots before I take the Steelers.
You feel like we're going to have to wait a while for Le'Veon Bell to find a landing spot? I mean, we can make football arguments for a couple of teams, the Indianapolis Colts for one, but then there's the financial argument, and if Le'Veon wants what he wants, it's going to take some time to get him in.
Colts have nine figures in cap space, and Chris Ballard, the GM of the team, has made it clear that he's not going to allow himself to be seduced by the notion that you should go out and spend a boatload of money right out of the gates. You know, last year they picked up Eric Ebron as a bargain, and what a bargain he was. They sit back and they wait. And I don't think the Colts, for that reason, will be after him. But I think the Jets, I've always believed the Jets are going to do it. Here's why. There's always a signing or two or three made the first day of free agency that isn't about football completely. It's about business. And the Jets have been struggling to stay relevant in their division. They're struggling to stay relevant in their own stadium. The Giants have Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr. The Jets are trying to develop Sam Darnold into a franchise quarterback. And during these next few years, before they have to give Darnold a second contract, load up the cannon, spend the cash, spend the cap space, get Le'Veon Bell, sell his jersey, have the press conference, and try to create a sense of optimism. And then after the fact, you figure out how that's going to work in football terms. I know there's a concern now that he's out of shape, and I just think that's advanced negotiation in the media to try to maybe dial back his expectations. But I think the Jets, at the end of the day, will be the team to write the big check for business reasons as much, if not more, than football reasons.
To the surprise of no one, it is leaking out that the Rams' Todd Gurley was actually, as we suspected, way more hurt than anybody was letting on. How do they fudge their way around injury reporting rules ex post facto?
Well, there's an easy way to do it. If the player kept it to himself, if the player never said to the team, once they decided he's healthy and he's ready to go, the knee's fine, the swelling's gone, he comes back and he plays well against the Cowboys, right? And he had a great game. He and CJ Anderson both had a great game. Then if there's an issue that week and he just keeps his mouth shut, he's got his own people that he goes to, the Rams never know. And I'm not taking up for the Rams here. I'm just saying that one of the things that I think gets overlooked when we find out that a player was more injured than we thought, the team didn't know. And if he never went to the training room, if he never missed any practice time, and he's a star player, they're going to walk on eggshells to a certain extent around him. I mean, the trainer comes over and says, hey, Todd, are you okay? We want to look at your knee. Yeah, I'm fine. Leave me alone. What are they going to say? Or no, we want to look at your knee. I mean, that when you pay your star players, they have a certain ability to circumvent the rules that would apply to the other players. And I think Gurley kept it to himself. This is my theory, hypothesis, whatever. I think he kept it to himself. And I think the Rams also were trying a little bit of a Jedi mind trick on the Patriots to convince them that they should game plan to take Gurley away in Super Bowl 53, knowing full well that that wasn't going to be the focus of their game plan anyway. Not that it mattered, but I think that's why we kind of got this notion leading up to the Super Bowl that he's 100% and he's fine and he's the guy, and then the Super Bowl comes and you realize that he wasn't fine. And I keep waiting for someone to leak that he's had some sort of a procedure on that knee to clean out cartilage or repair a meniscus or microfracture surgery because there's cartilage missing from his ACL tear from 2014. Whatever it may be, I feel like there's something going on there that they're going to have to get fixed surgically before this guy ever has a chance of being back to 100%.
You write on ProFootballTalk.com that there's no indication yet of anyone making a move to sign Colin Kaepernick. I was just, in terms of his free agent pursuits, would it benefit a team and maybe even his camp to have discussions a little more under the radar than typical free agents were, that we have fewer reports about him and what team may sign him and what team might not? Or do you think it'll be business as normal in terms of courting a free agent?
Well, I think if you're a team that is thinking about signing him, at some point you want to float the trial balloon just to see what the reaction is going to be. I think the concern for the NFL is this. The entire anthem controversy is gone now. And I believe that some sort of a deal was done with the president last year to get the president off of the NFL's rear end over this, and it worked. And you didn't have any tweets, you didn't have any grandstanding at the various rallies that he does, and it all died down. Even though there were still guys who were kneeling during the anthem, it all died down. So now, if somebody signs Kaepernick, the same people who huffed and puffed and threatened to blow the house down, and some would say to a certain extent, based upon the ratings from 2017, they did, they all come out of the woodwork again with a vengeance. I don't know that anyone wants to do that. We've gone 2 years without Kaepernick in the NFL. All the numbers rebounded in a positive way for the league last year. And in the aftermath of this settlement, I think it was so significant that the NFL did not buy out his future employment rights. That is a very common term in the settlement of employment cases, where the plaintiff agrees never to apply for or seek employment in the future because they don't want to settle the case. The employer doesn't want to write a check on Friday, and then on Monday, the employee shows up and says, hey, I'd like to apply for employment. And then you get yourself into another problem because they're going to argue there's more collusion, there's retaliation for filing the lawsuit, there is another basis for a grievance. And I'll tell you what, all these circumstances make me think that the numbers that we've seen, far lower in reality. I think it was seven figures, not eight figures, that Colin Kaepernick got. And I think at this point, the league is not concerned about another grievance, not concerned about another round of collusion claims. And I'd be surprised at this point if he ends up playing for another team, because I don't think any of these billionaires, especially after everything that's transpired, is going to feel compelled to suddenly change their mind and say, let's bring this guy in.
I saw that the XFL is going to be announcing their coaches likely next month, and the teams are in L.A., New York, St. Louis, Tampa, and Houston. Back to Dundon for a second here. Do you think he's betting on some kind of spring league merger possibility, betting on the fact that maybe there's consolidation? And does he know something about what could be coming down the road? Rather than have these two leagues cannibalize each other, maybe they join forces?
Well, if he knows something, he found out about it pretty quickly last week, right? And I asked him, you know, is there a play here to sell this thing to the NFL? He said, I don't buy businesses to sell them. But that may just be posturing in order to get his $250 million back. But maybe if you develop a viable product in year one, one of the things that the XFL decides to do is right out of the gates say, okay, we're going to gobble up the AAF and it's going to be the XFL or it's going to be the AAF. Either way, whoever emerges as the remaining league after this, it would make sense because none of these teams between the AAF or the XFL are in the same city. So instantly, boom, you can go from 8 to 16.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, and even if you, as far as branding goes, Mike, instead of using XFL or AAF, it's NFL blank or blank NFL, and that way you get the imprimatur of the shield. This could be good business for people.
Well, if ultimately the NFL decides to buy it, you know, at some point, I think the concern would be if I'm Tom Dundon and I've plunked down this money and this thing starts to work, I'd worry that the NFL is eventually going to say, you know what, let's just do our own, right? And if the NFL decides to do its own, it's going to be done the right way, and the games will all be on NFL Network, and the NFL will apply the arm twist to its broadcast partners to take on NFL minor league games. And you can push the XFL and the AAF right out of the market. I mean, I think that would be the biggest concern. If you become successful, not that they're going to try to buy you, that they're going to try to kill you. And that's another reason to maybe keep your $250 million in your back pocket.
Mike, appreciate it as always. Great talking with you.
All right, see you guys.
That is Mike Florio. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.